Our reading this morning is Saddle Your Dreams by Howard Washington Thurman. Howard Washington Thurman preached a theology of liberation, and after leaving his position as dean of Howard University in 1944, formed a church, the first fully integrated multicultural church in San Francisco. And this is his reading, Saddle Your Dreams. It is the nature of dreams to run riot, never to wish to contain themselves within limitations that are fixed. Sometimes they seem to cry of the heart for the boundless and the unexplored. Often they are fashioned out of longing too vital to die, out of hankerings fed by hidden springs in the dark places of the spirit. Often they are the offspring of hopes that can never be realized and longings that can never be find fulfillment. Sometimes we seek to dismiss them by calling them their indulgence daydreaming, by which we mean taking flight from the realities of our own world and dwelling in the twilight of vain imaginings. All of this may be true, but all their meaning need not be exhausted by such harsh judgment. Dreams belong to us. They come full-blown out of the world in which we work and hope and carry on. They are not imposters. No, our dreams are our thing. They become other when we let them lose their character. Here is the fatal blunder. Our dreams must be saddled by the hard facts of our world before we ride them through the stars. Thus, they become for us the bearers of possibility, the enlarged horizon, the great hope. Even as they romp among the stars, they come back to their place in our lives, bringing with them the radiance of the far heights, the lofty regions, and giving to all our days the lift and magic of stars. Just want to get a good look at you all. This is awesome. In prepping me for my first worship service with you, and I know that this took more effort and more people than the average guest speaker, so I'm very grateful. But in prepping me for this first worship service, Rich Jaffke shared with me a comment from a retired UU clergy person that the minister's first sermon in a new congregation can often be felled by trying to show everything that the minister knows in one sermon. So I'd like to think that I have, you know, everything I know might fit in more than one sermon, maybe two, maybe three. If I'm lucky and you're still awake, I wouldn't want to try. A fool's errand to try that. Because I believe what I was taught at Pacific School of Religion in preaching class, that the Sunday message is a thing that emerges from the contact between the minister and the world around them, which includes all of you. Yes, everything is holy now. What I know and share today will challenge and reflect back upon what I said a decade ago, what I knew a decade ago, and it will echo and test what my foremother preachers spoke, or an ancient text contained in another tongue I never heard. The Sunday service, what we do together, is not all perfection and miracles, because life is not all perfection and miracles. And our worshiping together is a practicing of the patterns of our life together. Through the music, oh, the music, thank you. Through the text, through ritual, we expand our images of what it means to be marvelously made so that we would be better able to live into the fullness of our heritage as people of faith. Our liturgy bears the marks of those gone before us, portraits of those we have never met, inscriptions written in different hands, bits and pieces of treasured correspondence, favorite recipes, prayers, maybe even the laundry, which I promise was clean. All of them left for us by our ancestors in the faith who have bequeathed us their manual for approaching life. And that last bit was Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor. She wrote that, not me. So technically, I've already been successful by Rich's criteria because I've just shared with you a bit, not about what I know, but about what someone else, a renowned preacher knows about ministry. So I have no illusions about today. This is not my top number one best sermon. This is not the end all, be all of what I have to offer you 2 Sundays a month. It is a hello sermon. It is a greetings sermon. It is a beginning for us and one that I have much anticipated, dreamt about. And even though we are just meeting now for the first time in person, for a few of you, bits and pieces of this message may feel familiar, may pick up on something you read earlier if you have already subscribed to my midweek reflection email called Immersed. That midweek reflection is a part of my own craft of words, one of my catalysts for bubbling up the Sunday message, the sermon, or some thread in our common hour. As a practice and as a discipline, it shapes and sharpens my own reservoir of meaning. My hope is that you and I will begin a conversation on Wednesdays that we continue on a Sunday. And if you miss me, but connect with me some other way on a Thursday, I cannot promise you that you won't end up in the sermon. So thank you, Rich, for humoring me. And thank you to all of you who have already subscribed or commented or sent me a message and send me words of welcome. I so appreciate it and look forward so much to getting to know you better. Perhaps the most important first thing to say is that I am so delighted to be with you, to connect with you face to face, here in the Sunday service, here at Vibe. I believe we can create beautiful worship, care for one another, guide our resources, and be a voice of love and justice in Southern California. Bring all of yourself to this celebration, and let's settle deeper into what we have begun. Our opening hymn this morning, Come and Go With Me, which was selected by Scott Rowe, and even though he isn't here this morning, I'm just so delighted to work with. Thank you for having him here as a partner in creating worship. So this hymn, Come and Go With Me, has a conflicting set of origin stories, according to a scholar of UU hymnody. It's a bit of a conundrum. Our gray hymnal, if you look at the notes, will, in Singing the Living Tradition, suggests that it's a spiritual from the time of American slavery. But Reverend Kimberly DeBue, who is a hymn scholar in her own right, reports that it might also be a traditional blues tune. She says, I don't know whether to talk about the use of 19th century spirituals in what is a predominantly white set of congregations, or if we talk about the rich blend of traditions in the that occurred in the American South, as sounds from Africa, Europe, and the Americas all found themselves woven together into new music. Two very different narratives with one song that is relatively easy to learn and to lead, even though it can't be tied down to one particular arrangement or melody. My guess that is at least some part of each composition, each tale of this hymn's beginnings, is true. I don't know all of where you have been as a congregation in your history, or with my dear colleague, Reverend Peter Faraday, in the past few years. I don't yet know your whole origin story as a community in the weaving together of Santa Clarita Valley. I imagine there are multiple voices and chords and threads and themes. I know that by way of a mutual invitation to look at one another and through conversations with your search committee and then with your board leadership. By those events, I know that on August 1st, we're saying to one another, come and go with me, which I think the lyrics are suggesting that we're going to come dream together. We don't know all of what we'll make happen or create in the details, but we know that for at least a little while in the grand scheme of things, we want to do it together. We begin knowing that something bigger than us rests upon our shoulders and at the same time is not fully understood or in our control. We can take time to notice. We can take time to dream aloud. We can keep together. My own call to ministry has taken shape much by what I could not control and a lot by what I was invited, poked at, to notice. I graduated from theological school with an academic degree in 2009, and following a series of major illnesses and a major surgery and recovery process, I didn't pursue ordination and ended up just going into a little bit of adjunct teaching. First, in a couple of subject areas of seminary education, and then later this limited role at Star King School for the Ministry, located in Berkeley, California, expanded in a time of institutional crisis for the school. I began to advise students, provide spiritual care, and that noticing started to happen. Something new clicked, and I decided to return to the process of fellowship as a UU minister in 2014. Including all the same markings of that path as my own students, chaplaincy training, a full-year internship in a church, an interview with the Ministerial Fellowship Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Don't try to say that three times fast. All the while, I've continued to teach and advise students who wish to join our community of colleagues of clergy to become Unitarian Universalist ministers. Some might say we make the path by moving along it, and this has been a truth for me. I suspect it might be true for many of us. My work as a telecommuting assistant professor with theological students at Star King continues to feed my soul in many ways. I'm not here just because I needed an extra gig or, you know, something to fill my open hours, though to be sure, I believe that strong theological education needs liveliness and support more than ever. The truth is that in the last couple of years, I have felt my heart tugging me towards congregational ministry, toward preaching what I was teaching and walking what I've been talking for 10 years, toward you, in a way, tugging me toward a dream of placefulness, a connection to community in Southern California, which is my home in many ways because it is where my fiance and partner, Stephanie, her career is here as a film and TV editor. Her career is in full swing, and so, you know, Hollywood is where it's at. But my own dream of placefulness as a way of being rooted, grounded upon the earth beneath my feet and my fellow inhabitants in the particular way that I believe only congregations, only communities of faith do. Reconvening in worship and reverence, an hour at a time, a week at a time. Embracing a holy now while dreaming of a beloved community in which all are liberated, all are held in the embrace of a loving spirit or God, and each of us knows that we are worthy of love. There'll be freedom, there'll be justice, there'll be singing. I know that outreach and connecting to those who have not found us yet in Santa Clarita is an interest of many in this congregation, and I hope to be able to share in the duties and joys with your board and leadership of what it would look like to embrace and share Unitarian Universalism in ways that speak to people, families of the Santa Clarita Valley and its diverse communities. all those who are seeking spiritual depth and community amid the clamor of all that demands or tempts our attention. We take time to notice. We dream aloud. We keep together. A dream of placefulness as being embedded as a village, like Apelamondo's village, that says the power of a small group's collective dreaming can change a community, can guide others to us in the forest and bring us out into fuller relationship. What would our UU message in Santa Clarita paint all over the sidewalks, laundry lines, and yes, even maybe a waddling duck underside? What is that beacon that we want to throw above the tree line? As your minister, I'm so enthused, excited to learn about you, what gives you hope, what brings you grief, how you were shaped and how you arrived here, and about Santa Clarita. Where do you get a good veggie burger? Where do you see the beauty and the color that makes it unique? I suppose that Apelamondo's dreams improved upon themselves as the protectors became more united and as the rest of the village saw the gifts that that group of friends had to offer. They took time to notice one another. They dreamt aloud. They kept together. Our ministry here together will be better as we build relationship. Our dreams are improved by knowing one another because they belong to us. They are us. I believe what I repeated that Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor said, that our liturgy, this Sunday gathering time, is a time dedicated to practicing the pattern of our life together in a medium of shared place, shared song, shared with a heritage of Unitarian Universalist and Unitarian Universalist forebearers, those who encourage, warn, and challenge us. I think we can be with Apelamondo. We can be what Apelamondo was for his people, sustainers of the spirit. We can be Thurman's bearers of possibility. I propose we romp among the stars, and I have to say I did not know these stars would be here. We can share our placefulness to those who gather here and all who with our help find us. May our dreams come back to their place in our lives, propelling us into the week ahead, saying we are stronger together, because we need to be. I bet you know what I mean when I say that we don't really have to try to saddle our dreams with hard facts. From what I know of Thurman's context and era, for ministry, I don't suspect he had to try so hard to saddle it with the realities of his context, with the realities of life. Those hard facts are in multitudes, so much so that sometimes it may seem that the closing down of dreams feels more likely than riding saddled into the stars. My hope is that we together can harness the power to dream in worship, naming the spark that gives this congregation life in a new worship space. Go to that placefulness that may not always be sunny or shiny to the parts of us that need healing. And then fire up our imaginations so we can glimmer all over. Thank you for inviting me in. Let us take time to notice. Let's dream aloud together. Let's keep one another together. As part of my ordination service in Beverly, Massachusetts, I brought these wooden hearts from no other place but Dollywood. And I brought enough back with me to share with you. There's actually some under the first chair here in the front on my left, there's a little bag underneath. And then in the back row, I believe, oh, actually, just beyond this, with the speakers there, there's that. If you could pass those around. And feel free to take one for yourself and then one for the loved one who's not here or a child who's in childcare, if it's an appropriate size for them to hold. And I know some people are not here, and so I will bring more with me. I am not heartless. Thank you. So as you gather, I want to share with you that I wish to accompany you in a shared ministry that takes seriously the work of heart tending, doing what needs to be done in a service of a Unitarian Universalist faith that matters. One of my early mentors shared with me that in nurturing the calling of a teacher, that I would love my students before I even met them. And so it is with beginning congregational ministry. So please take this token of a heart, knowing that you are already in mine. Thank you.